Yep. Got it. Good morning, indeed. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Happy Tuesday, my dudes and dudettes. We are, yes, indeed, it is true. It's true. It's damn true. One day closer to the beginning of week one in collegiate footy. One day closer to the beginning of the National Football League, as there is no football coming up this weekend at the NFL level, as the preseason has come to its conclusion. But we do have 1 week and 2 days remaining until we kick off next Thursday night when Lonzo's Kansas City Chiefs begin their efforts to become the NFL's first three-peat champions by hosting last year's AFC Championship game opponent, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. That is a week and 2 days away. College football week number one is just 2 days away, as we've got a deep Thursday night slate that does have a couple of very interesting games on it since we had a good week in week zero, but not a deep week in week zero. A good list of games on week zero, but not a great deep schedule in week zero. Week one is where we're going to get into the meat and taters of the season. And I am quite excited about it. And we are going to get deep into week one football starting today, as a matter of fact, on the show. And take some of the breakdowns from what week one might end up looking like, how it might end up playing out, and seeing what we might extrapolate from it. We got that coming up for you later in the show. Today, arguably, the most uncomfortable day on the NFL calendar, as today is NFL cut day. A lot of guys going to lose jobs today. A few more will pick up jobs, as some of them will be added to practice squads. Some of them will be dropped onto the waiver wire and will be picked up by other teams around the NFL today. Of course, as we have mentioned a number of times throughout the course of the day today, we will talk about it. Carolina Panthers, number one on the waiver wire order. So big day could be in store for the Carolina Panthers today as they wait to see what names may be added to the waiver wire list today that could then be added to their roster down the line should they elect to do so. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. The Atlanta Braves played the first of a 7-game road swing last night at Minnesota, and they clobbered the ball up 9-2 at the end of the first two innings. Sorry, 9-1 at the end of the first two innings. The Braves would put one more on the board later in the show. A 10 spot for the ATL last night as they knock off the Minnesota Twins. 10-2 was your final in that one. And a good win for Atlanta on the road, a necessary win for Atlanta on the road, not just because they needed that dub to start the road swing, and having a 7-game road swing that does include it starts with 3 games in Minnesota, but then it includes 4 games at Philly before the Bravos come back to the house. Remember, the Bravos took 2 out of 3 against the Phillies just a week ago. Now they've got to get a couple more. They've got to get at least one away from Philly when they go to Philadelphia at the end of this week. Good way to build momentum up against a decent Twins team. They do hit the ball around the park a little bit last night, so we'll talk about the road swing a bit and what it means for the Bravos to start it off with a W. That's coming up later on. We got a big story out of the world of NASCAR. Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon put in an appeal for his win in Richmond, Virginia. Remember NASCAR, after he wrecked out a couple of drivers, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, down the stretch in order to win the race at Richmond, which he thought punched his ticket into the 2024 NASCAR playoffs. NASCAR said, nah, you went a little far. You did a little too much. You were a little too extra in that one, Stone Cold Steve Austin Dillon, and removed his playoff berth despite allowing him to keep the win on the record books. Well, the team filed an appeal. NASCAR handed down their judgment on that appeal yesterday. We'll talk about that later on in the show. And we will talk a little Clemson football and a little South Carolina football on the show. Of course, both of those teams get their season underway this Saturday. Georgia opens up in Atlanta in a neutral site game against Georgia. We'll find out if that is true or not. We'll talk about that game, give you some X's and O's and thoughts on that later in the show. South Carolina at the house this Saturday. They welcome in the Monarchs of ODU. Old Dominion coming to the squad this weekend. Old Dominion, one of the worst teams in football last year. So this is most certainly a tune-up game, a get-right game, a find-your-rhythm game for the South Carolina Gamecocks. We'll talk about them later on the show. Before we get to any of those things, let's do now what we should have done earlier, and all say good morning to the man who runs this show and every radio show you've ever listened to that you like and none of the ones that you hate, the guy that is in charge of this broadcast, the Alpha and the Omega of the Fan Upstate, the great one, Lonzo, is here. Hello, Lonzo.
Hello. I was fine with it. I was doing some other work, so we're good.
Well, you know, the key is you got to open. Bang! You got to hit him. Yeah, bow! You got to get in there real quick. You got to hit him with the info right out of the gate.
Yeah, and talking to me would not be hitting them with the, you know, you know, mentioning that I'm here would break the 8-second rule. Wouldn't want to do that.
Well, everybody knows you're here, because if you're not here, the show doesn't go on the air.
That's not true. I do take vacations.
That's also true.
On occasion.
That's all true. Yeah, the great one is here.
And but if I was taking a vacation, you'd be on this side of the board. And
complaining a lot.
Would you? Do you do that?
A lot strong. Certainly a little. You know what it is? It's not complaining. It's just repeatedly pointing out to everybody how capable and talented I am.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference. There's a difference.
I would think that would show up without you having to tell them. I mean, you know, I don't, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, my old man used to tell me all the time, if you have to tell somebody you are a thing, you're not that thing. But I am that thing, yeah. And I'll tell them that I am.
If you're saying, do you know who I am, they don't. So, I mean, there's that. By the way, rocking, it's, words are hard, because I'm stunned by you rocking the white Braves jersey today.
Why?
Because.
It's my favorite one.
Yeah, but fat guys can't wear white, and you're not fat anymore, so you're wearing white. So good for you.
No, and I'm not at yet. I'm not at, and I do want to get here now. I've hit that point, and I hate this about me because it's not me, but I hit the point where I flipped the switch. Great one. I flipped the switch from, all right, I'm where I wanted to be when I started dropping the LBs, right? I wanted to get to 215. I'm now at 213. So I was like, all right, I'm where I want to be. I'm below the threshold I said, but I think I want to keep going. I think I want to get down to like 205. That's not to say I'm going to stay at 205, but I got 24 days left until the wedding at this point, so I got a little over 3 weeks. I'm like, all right, I think I want to get to 205. That's another 8 pounds in 3 weeks. You know, however many pounds a week that is. I'm bad at numbers. I think I'll get to 205, but something happened yesterday where I was at the house. I did. You better, you bet. Or no, sorry. I did BetMGM Tonight last night with Ryan Horvath. So for those of you that stuck around after Wire to Wire and left your radio on, you got another 4 hours of Rob Brown. You're welcome. You get to bookend yesterday, today, tomorrow. You get to bookend your day. Rob Brown in the morning, Rob Brown at night. When Rob Brown's in your ear holes, you know everything's going to be all right. I bookended, and I got done with the show last night. And the only problem that comes with hosting that show, especially when I'm doing it with Ryan Horvath, because Horvy and I, we groove, we flow, we got a zone we get into when we're talking college ball. That show ended, and Like I'm ramped up. I'm wide awake, right? We've been talking college football, NFL, MLB for 4 hours. I'm ramped up. I'm good to go. And so the show ended. And I'm like, all right, it's gonna be 35, 45 minutes before I'm ready to like lay down and force myself to sleep. So I went and got comfy. I threw on the pajama pants. I opened the closet, and I have had hanging in the back of the closet for I do not know how long now, a Bel Air Academy basketball jersey, right? A Fresh Prince of Bel Air Academy basketball jersey. And I'm like, yeah, let's put that on. That's a good nighttime shirt.
From the original, not the reboot.
From the OG Fresh Prince of Bel Air. I have had a Bel Air Academy basketball jersey that I've been wearing for a very, very long, not wearing, I have owned for a very, very long time. Because, you know, I'm assuming you're the same way. I assume everybody's the same way. You pack on a couple of LBs. Maybe you get a couple of LBs past being able to wear, like, your favorite clothes. And you can't bring yourself to throw them away because you're like, I'll get back to that, right? I'll get back to that. I'll get back to where I can put on a basketball jersey. I'll get back where I can fit into that. That's my favorite Batman shirt. That's my favorite polo, my favorite golf shirt, whatever. So you can't bring yourself to get rid of it because you want to use that as motivation to drop the LBs, right? I got this fantastic piece of merch that I keep hanging around. Can't fit into it. I have held on to this Bel Air Academy shirt. Basketball jersey with the intention of getting back into it. So I'm like, you know what? Let me see. And I put it on last night and I can fit in it again. Like it hangs. It's not like I'm stuffing a sausage into it, right? Like it hangs off me. And so I put it on and I'm like, yeah, dude, like back in this jersey. I look good. I feel good. I'm able to get back into my old basketball jerseys. This is great. And so I go into the living room and, you know, I take the dog out one last time. I'm getting ready for Betty Bye. And I walk back inside and I'm like, all right, let me go to the restroom real quick before I go to bed. And I walk into the bathroom and I'm like, yeah, dude, like looking in the mirror, like bang, back in the old basketball jersey. And then I'm looking and I'm like, dog, you got some scrawny ass arms, bro. So now I know I got scrawny arms and a saggy ass. I can't win. Like I dropped the LBs and now I just like, again, I'm patting myself on the back a little bit here, but like I got scrawny arms and I had for the first time since like high school, I had this moment where I'm like, I'm gonna go do some curls. I'm gonna get some beef back up. I'm gonna get some muscle back up. So when we get off the show today, we're gonna upload the pod. We're gonna upload the promos. I'm gonna go upload our highlight segments for the day. And then when I leave here, because I finally found the place that's gonna fix my car. So that's on the books now, right?
Sweet. Yes.
And so I got to drop the car off, Uber back to the house, and then basically just kind of hang out until they get it fixed. I'm going to go to the gym and get the pump on because I want to be able to go. I want to go back to where I can wear, like where I can rock sleeveless jerseys and not look like the dork ass character in the coming of age teen movie that's trying too hard.
So you want to look like John Cena? Back in the day.
Now, listen, I want you to know I have no misinterpretation that I'm ever going to have those arms, right? I'm never going to have the arms that I go to the beach and the ladies go gaga. That's not going to happen. But I would like to get to the point that I can put on a basketball jersey and not judge myself, all right? Because Rob Brown doesn't hurt for self-confidence. All the time. There are some spots in my life, right? Like, I've never approached women in bars. I don't have that level of self-confidence. But...
Well, they approach you. I mean, come on.
I've never had that. But you can lock me in a box with a microphone, and am I convinced that I can entertain people for 4 hours just by talking about sports? Yeah, I'd say so. Lonzo and I have won some trophies. Am I convinced that you can put me up on the stage with a guitar and a microphone? And I can be the face of a band. I can keep a crowd entertained between songs. Yeah, I've been doing it 17 years. Like, I'm pretty sure I got it in the bag. But when I walked into the bathroom last night and I looked at myself with my twigs hanging out, right, with the arms, with the chicken legs, with the chicken wings hanging out of the jersey, I was like, oh, I gotta lift some weights.
You do know you can multitask, by the way. You could be working out while on the air for the entire show. All you need is to purchase a shake weight. And I'm sure everyone wants to see you tone with the shake weight while talking and not have your voice vibrate.
You and I both know what the people on the stream do with that.
Those things,
you and I both know
those things obviously work. They're very effective. And you just want to tone. You don't want to build. Get you a shake weight.
Did those things work?
I don't know.
I don't know if those things worked. I have no idea. In fact, and I'm just now.
I'm just wondering if you could actually use one while on the air and talk and no one notice. That's just, I mean, you know, just.
I was going to act it out to see.
Yeah, that's way to go. I almost got you there.
But there's five people watching the stream right now, right?
Six.
Hey, what? Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have the stones.
I'm sorry. I witnessed it.
I can't do it. So anyway, that's enough about me, Greenville, Spartanburg, upstate South Carolina. Let's talk about you. What do you want to talk about? Text line's open, 71307. Start your text with Fan FAN. Fan FAN will read them on the air. You can give us a buzz on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-326-3663. 844-FAN-FONE. If you'd like to come in that direction, you're certainly welcome to do it. You can also X me at the Rob Brown Show. You can get at the great one, Lonzo, at Lonzo on Word. And you can tweet everybody at the Fan Upstate if you want to get at us in that direction. All of that available to you when we come back here in just a moment from right now. I put up an article yesterday on the website, www.thefanupstate.com, about Deion Sanders, because it was announced that Colorado has banned a reporter from asking questions, and I have thoughts. I'll tell you what they are next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Mike. The great one, Lonzo, and Dollar Store Paul Heyman, Rob Brown with you this lovely Tuesday morning. Welcome in.
You're going to be sore tomorrow for how hard you hit yourself trying to be all macho.
Got our boy Adam up in the stream right now as APW Asylum Pro Wrestling going this Friday in the Berg, and I'm trying to get out to a show because there is nothing better than local indie wrestling. Nothing. There's nothing better. It's the most entertaining thing in the world, and I'm trying to get to a show, and I told Adam during the break, if you need somebody who can, come in, be a mouthpiece, be a valet, be a local dollar store version of Paul Heyman, I'm your guy. I'm happy to do it, and if that means I got to take a bump or three, let it happen, all right? Paul Heyman is 115 years old and getting put through tables, all right? I still got it. I mean, I'm not saying I could go a match. I'm saying you need somebody that can step in, talk a little bit, and then take a super kick to the jaw. I'm your guy. I got it. I'm in. I'm done. Book it. Let's go. All right. Deion Sanders, a.k.a. Coach Prime, which is what's on his door in his office in Boulder at the University of Colorado. Coach Prime, as we addressed on the show last week, is, in my opinion, in over his head. And I think he put it on full display. There is a reporter for the Denver Post. This reporter for the Denver Post. Now, let me take that back. He is not a reporter. He is a columnist. There is, so that we are all very clear, a difference. A reporter reports. A columnist opines. A reporter tells you what is happening. A columnist tells you what he thinks about what is happening. There is a difference. Lonzo and I are verbal columnist who occasionally report, and then there are reporters who occasionally opine. Sean Keeler is a columnist for the Denver Post. Sean Keeler is not a fan of the work of Neon Deion Primetime Sanders. And has been pretty open about that fact. He has written a number of articles that have been very critical of Deion Sanders, very critical of the Colorado football program under him. He has referred to Deion as a false prophet. He has referred to Deion, and what is my favorite new thing that I'm absolutely stealing, I'm going to give this about 6 weeks to die off before I add it to my daily lexicon, the, quote, Bruce Lee of BS. It's pretty good. I mean, Bruce Lee's a goat, so, like, that makes sense. He's also gone on to call the program a, quote,
yeah,
circus.
How does that, I mean, Bruce Lee, how does that, I mean, I don't, I, you like it, but can you explain it to me? Because I'm,
Deion Sanders is full of, and he's so full of, that he is like Bruce Lee with the art of martial arts.
Oh, so he's the master of it.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. I get it now.
Yes, that is exactly correct. So, yesterday, the University of Colorado announced that Scott Keeler was still welcome to cover the Colorado Buffaloes in person, still welcome to come to games, still welcome to cover press conferences, etc., but Scott Keeler was now banned by the university from asking questions of Deion Sanders. And that came along with a audio clip that started making the rounds. It is an audio clip I tried to find and pull this morning, and unfortunately I ran out of time. But suffice to say, Keeler went to ask Deion a question. Deion hit him back with, why are you so negative? Why are you so aggressive? Keeler was like, coach, can I ask you a football question? Deion's like, no, we got to talk about this. Why are you always, these words are quoted, why are you always on the attack? That's not normal, end quote. Keeler said, coach, this isn't about me. It's about you and the team. Can I ask you a football question? Deion said, no, I want to help you. I want to figure this out because this ain't normal. Why are you always on the attack? And it went back and forth for like a hot minute. And finally, when asked for the final time, can I ask you a football question? Deion Sanders said, no. Well.
So the reporter wouldn't have a rapport, wouldn't have a back and forth with Deion Sanders, wouldn't talk about the fact that maybe he does need help. I mean, that's denial right there.
No, that
he,
is
he absolutely
a,
needs some help.
That is a columnist trying to ask a football coach a football question in a football press conference, not ask for therapy from Deion Sanders. I don't care what you think about me. You are here to do your job as a football coach. I am here to do my job as a football reporter. Part of my job is to ask you football questions, and part of your job is to answer them. It would not be even that bad, except for the question before Keeler in this press conference was a reporter asking Deion, how important do you think it is for Buffalo's fans to have Aflac? Of course, obviously a major sponsor of Deion Sanders. The reporter after Keeler asked Deion Sanders, Deion, you just had a birthday. You just turned 57 or whatever he is now. I think it's 57. Not that it's important, but now I have to know. Yeah, 57. What were your birthday plans? Did you have any fun birthday plans, Deion? It's not what we're here for. Now, I don't mind reporters and journalists having a back and forth with a coach. All right? I've done it before. I don't mind journalists having a back and forth with a coach, especially if that coach has been good enough to the journalist that they've developed that relationship. However, I do think it is very important. And I found my name yesterday because I am an egomaniac. I found my name yesterday on a rather large Clemson message board. Why does this guy hate Dabo Swinney? I don't hate Dabo Swinney. I've never hated Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney, in the number of times that I've met him and interacted with him, has never been anything but kind to me. But there is a difference between falling over backwards to kiss an ass and being critical and asking questions about the lack of performance of teams in certain spots.
Well,
right?
that Dabo promo is still pretty good.
It is, and it's spot on.
It is.
It's not hypercritical. I have never once.
You can't be negative about Dabo, who has gone at reporters, and so is Steve Spurrier. This prime thing is nothing new in college football or college sports.
Yes, it is. Hold on. Now you're wrong, I'm gonna walk up to that. I have never been personally critical of Dabo Swinney. I wouldn't. I don't have a reason to.
I wasn't talking about
that. I know you weren't, I'm not done with the Deion thing.
Should I dig up the Spurrier stuff?
Nope.
To where that reporter could no longer work in Columbia?
Nope.
Should I dig that up?
Nope.
Because I can find it.
Nope. It's I'm gonna argue it's different, but we're gonna come to that. The Dabo stuff, never been personally critical. He's never been anything but kind to me. The couple of times I've met him, interacted with him, he's been phenomenal. All right. There's a difference between attacking and being hypercritical. There's a difference between being critical and being personal. And now, I will acknowledge that the Bruce Lee of BS, I can see how that would feel to some people like it's crossed the line into personal. Okay? Now, here's what I'll say about Deion, and then we'll talk about the Spurrier thing. I'm not going to say it's never happened in college football. I'm also not going to say it's common in college football. Has it happened a few times? Yeah, I'm sure it has. I'm sure it has. But I don't think it's common. So here's how this whole thing feels to me. It feels to me like Scott Keeler, who is pretty much at this point openly accused Deion Sanders of being over his depth. And for the record, I think he is too. And I said that before he got the job, or before he started the job. When he got the job, but before he showed up and started the job, I said, I think the guy's in over his head. I think this is too big of a jump up. I think he relied on talent at Jackson State. I think he relied on his celebrity attracting talent that other schools in that same level, that same tier of football, don't have access to. And I don't think he can X's and O's. I don't think he can coach. I think he just coasted on having guys that were 4- and 5-star recruits that otherwise would have never considered a Jackson State come in there because he's Deion. And that ain't going to be how it's going to be in Power 4 football. He's not getting the greatest talent in Power 4 football just by being Neon Deion. I think he outkicked his coverage. I think he would have been better served staying at a D2 level, staying at an HBCU, staying at an FCS school, staying at a place where if he gets 4- and 5-star talent, that talent just beats the talent of other teams. But when it comes to Power 4 football, you're not getting better talent than everybody else. Now you got X's and O's them. And on top of that, he's putting together a coaching staff full of guys that also don't know X's and O's. Warren Sapp put out a introductory interview period where he was like, these babies got my heart. I love these kids. I never wanted to be a coach until Deion called me and I saw what that calling is like and now I'm all in. And that's all well and good. But Warren Sapp, can you run a defense? Can you coach a kid how to play out of a shade technique and come off a pass block? Because if you can't, you're worthless in this position.
Will he get in some sort of trouble that will get him to no longer be coaching? Because he has a history of that.
Don't know. I'd like to think Warren Sapp's a new man and he's going to be a great mentor and role model. But it doesn't mean he can coach a football team. And at the end of the day, the job is not be the Tony Robbins of the sport. The job is to make college football players be better college football players. That's literally it. And I don't think Deion's doing that. And I think that Scott Keeler asking questions has told me something about Deion. I think Deion doesn't have answers. I think he's afraid of that reality. I think he's insecure of the recognition that he isn't over his head, but he's too damn proud to acknowledge it. Colorado's winning 2 games this year, 3 at most. We'll talk more about it on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. So continuing down the path that we were on with that Deion Sanders segment just a second ago, I'm going to tell you what the actual meat and potatoes of this segment is for me, of this conversation is for me. I am sure that there are a number, I don't think it's a huge number, but I'm sure that there are a number of reporters who have been banned from covering, asking questions of, discussing a college or even NFL or NBA or NHL or whatever team that they are a beat writer for. I'm sure that has happened multiple times around the country. I don't think it's a widely common practice. I don't think it happens all the time. But even for the sake of discussion, let's say that it does. Let's say that it is. Let's say that this is happening at every school once a year, every offseason. Okay, that's fine. The question mark would be, why? Why? It is one thing if there's a guy that is in a run where Kirby Smart's got a team that's kicking everybody's butt together. If there is a reporter out there that is, I don't know, lying about the team. Disseminating false information. Fake news. It's all fake news. Everything he writes, fake news. All right? That's one thing.
You kind of threw some mafia in there behind it. So
yeah.
It's not that.
Yeah, I blew it. I had the opportunity. I had the shot. There was no danger, so I took it, but I missed. If there was a reporter spreading false sentiment, if there was a reporter lying, if there was a reporter, say, digging up and, although actually I don't even have a problem with this, but let's say I would get it, digging up and giving away game plans, right? This guy found a way to hack into the play iPad and come up with the game plan and put it in the newspaper. These are all reasons that I would say, all right, it's fair. I don't like it, but it's fair. Scott Keeler writing about the issues about a football team that won a couple of games last year and then got hammered the rest of the ride, and a coach who looked like he was out of his league, to me, ain't a reason to ban the guy. I'll tell you how this comes across in my opinion. How this comes across in my opinion is that Scott Keeler has questions. They are tough questions. Deion doesn't know the answer to those tough questions. And because Deion doesn't know the answer to those questions, instead of being placed in a spot where he has to answer tough questions, instead, he's not going to listen to him. Instead of being in a placed in a spot where Scott Keeler says, hey, Neon Deion Primetime Sanders, there's this problem with your football team. How do you plan on addressing it? And Deion doesn't have an answer for that. Instead of facing that question down and revealing to Buffalo fans that he doesn't actually know what's happening here, he would rather find a way to not face the question in the first half. Because if nobody asks the question, then you're not put in the awkward spot where you reveal you don't have the answer to it. I have said this for politics in years. For years. If a politician stops taking questions from a journalist, my automatic belief is that that politician has something to hide. Automatically. And I don't care if I agree with you that the journalist in question is a super partisan, uber biased, wide left, wide right, whatever, extremist activist journalist who is known solely and only for asking questions that paint a situation and a candidate or a office holder in a bad light, right? I've said it for years. If a Democrat was to ban OAN or Newsmax, or if a liberal was to ban Fox News or whatever, however it plays out, my automatic reaction is...
You don't know any other news things for the other side? Not just, you know...
Okay, if what would you consider a left-wing news source?
All of them.
Okay, there it is. It's a fight I knew was coming. That's okay. The point here is...
Hey, I set you up, you set me up. Whether you like the punchline, I can't help it.
The point here is, if a politician says, I am no longer addressing that agency, even if that agency is indeed super biased, Young Turks, there you go, there's one on the left, super duper biased, and they say, I'm not answering questions, I'm not talking to them anymore, my automatic reflex reaction is, they don't have answers to the questions. Because even if it's a super biased, super tilted question that skews all the information to look you one way, if what you're doing is right and justified, you should be able to counter that. You should be able to say, the premise of your question is wrong. Here's the correct information, and here's how I'm doing what I'm doing. And then I've got some trust, right or left. Centrist doesn't matter, right? So what a football coach says, I'm not taking questions from that guy, what it automatically screams to me is, I don't have answers for that guy's questions. I don't have responses to him. And instead of being placed in a position where I'm on this stage, I'm on this mic, and I am having it proven to my fan base that this guy's asking questions that I don't have an answer to, I'm just not going to let him ask the questions. It screams insecurity to me from Deion Sanders.
See, what it screams to me is he is finally made the big time as far as coaching goes, because from what I've seen, and you know, I haven't been everywhere like you have, but it would seem that big time coaches and big time programs have weaned out these kind of reporters, and they have a bunch of yes men who ask them questions. Those are the reporters that go with them everywhere. They ask them the softball questions, and those are the guys they want in the room. And you weed those guys out and also make an example out of someone. Like I said, Spurrier has done that. We've heard Dabo go at reporters before. We've heard Mike Gundy go at reporters. It's what big-time coaches do. You get rid of that one guy. Everybody else is a little afraid to ask those kind of questions. You have a bunch of yes men in there, and that's proof that you've made it.
That, to me, I would also say, is proof of a situation that shows weakness, in my opinion. I get it. It is easier.
It shows weakness, but it also shows power. And that's the power of that coach over that
room. It is amazing how often those two qualities overlap with each other.
Agreed.
Amazing. Agreed. Right? So, listen, I'll tell you now, because I want you to know. I want you to know. Even though the folks over on the message board are going to be real butthurt about this. All right. Dabo's taking heat today, too, because last night was the first edition of his coach's show. You know, the show that Tyler from Spartanburg called in last year and started the train a-rolling?
It was work. Do I have to bring Tyler back out? Because I put that clip away.
We're bringing Tyler back out. Because last year, Tyler from the Berg made a call that went on a very long time. Tyler from the Berg made a call to Dabo's call-in show. And Tyler from the Berg had some criticisms, critiques, and considerations for the Clemson Tiger football program. And let's be real, Tyler was the motivational factor last year. All right? Tyler was what drove that team in an improvement. So, Tyler from Spartanburg called in last year. It was a big deal. Yesterday, a few hours before the beginning of Dabo Swinney's call-in show, it was announced that Dabo ain't taking phone calls this year. You want to ask Dabo something? You may text the Dabo text line. You may text your questions to the station that hosts the Dabo call-in show. You will not call in. Fans will not speak to Dabo. Now, what Clemson said was, and what may or may not be true, was that they wanted to focus this year on what they did with Brad Brownell's show during the basketball season. They did what we've done here on this show. They've made it a more multimedia show. They are streaming it. They are putting it out on video sites. They are being more engaged with social media, yada, yada, yada. But hey, here's the reality. Just like we do here, you can still take phone calls. It doesn't change anything. You put up a graphic with the name of the caller, whatever. And I will tell you that while I do like Dabo, while Dabo has been very kind to me, and the few times I've gotten the opportunity to talk to him and meet him in person, we've shaken hands. We've exchanged pleasantries, been perfectly kind. I've asked him a couple of questions or two that I think it's fair to say are mildly uncomfortable or maybe even a bit critical, and he's always answered those questions no problem. I did it about Kate Klubnik at ACC Media Days. I pointed out, I think the way that you are putting everything on Cade last year is a little bit hypercritical, and I feel like it might make it tough for you to coach him. Can you tell me how that relationship works when you consistently put everything on Cade Klubnik and you're also trying to develop him? And he had a wonderful answer, and I appreciated that. But when you turn around the next year and you go, yeah, I ain't taking phone calls. Yeah. Do you see how there's a look to it? Do you see how there's a vibe to it? Do you see how it kind of makes you look some kind of way, especially when last year, post the work or not, post the Tyler from Spartanburg call, you flew off the handle at the guy. It makes it feel like you are willing to push out the fans who for years and years and years have been able to call you on your call-in show, address you, talk to you, give you, the leader of their beloved football program, their questions, their thoughts, their considerations, and you've always answered them. So a year after a fan does that and you flew off the handle at him, now all of a sudden you don't take calls anymore. It may be for a perfectly justifiable reason, but you also have to acknowledge it comes with a certain kind of look. I feel the same way about Deion Sanders banning this guy. You may actually be right in that this guy is a little bit of a hole. Maybe you're right. But even if he's a little bit of a hole, by banning him from the game, there's a certain kind of look. And to me, that look is this dude asks you very genuine, very legitimate questions, and you don't have the answer. And instead of going and finding the answers and answering his questions in a way that the fans go, yeah, take that, Scott Keeler. Suck it, Scott Keeler, you loser. Instead of giving him those answers, instead, what you have done is decided to make it look to, as far as I'm concerned, Colorado Buffalo fans, like you ain't got answers. And instead of coming up with them, you're just going to avoid the question. Can't give a bad answer if there's nobody asking a question.
It's just a normal coach thing to me. Just is. It's not unusual. I've seen it happen a bunch of times. As far as Dabo goes, he's not worried about your diddy. He's not worried about your granddiddy. He's worried about the 20-somethings and the people younger than that, and you're going to reach them a lot quicker by being live on social media and all that kind of stuff. Phone calls are becoming passe in radio and everywhere. They just are. I mean, we have seen the turn here, and not just on this station, but on other stations. The people who call in usually are older. Being able to control the environment is a lot better for the person who's doing the thing. I understand why he's doing it. And you know what can ruin an entire show? A bad phone call. Not saying that we want a bad phone call.
Here's the thing. You know. Here's the thing. Lonzo, you've been playing this game for a very long time. It's a really easy solution to that. Have a good call screener, a good producer, who at some point when it starts getting bad, goes, click, all right, coach, we're done with that phone call, move on. That's how this industry has worked for 100 years. Now, I'm not saying.
There are people who lie to get on the air, and they say something totally
then
different.
Cut them like every other show in the history of radio.
I do that, and then I usually get a talking to afterwards. Well, why'd you cut them?
Because
it's my job, and I wanted to.
Here's where I land on the whole thing. Everything you just said, let's say it's all right. Let's say you're entirely 100% correct. I don't agree with you on everything. Some I do, some I don't. All right. I do not think that phone calls are going by the wayside because I think at the end of the day, people talking to people drives this. All right. But let's say you're right for the sake of the discussion. Everything you said is right. That this is them honestly, scout's honor. Legitimately, for Dabo's show, legitimately scouts on our guys. It's not that we're trying to control the messaging or control the narrative. It is genuinely that we are trying to become a more internet-friendly show. We're trying to engage more with social media. We're trying to pick up streaming views. We're trying to pick up viewers online. Because they did it with Brad Brownell. So let's say that's all accurate. Number one, we can still take phone calls. And number two,
by the way, I just want to point out, I'm sorry, don't get upset with me. That is, even as an older guy, as a grandpa, that being on video, which I didn't know was on stream now, that's more appealing to me than listening to Dabo.
I agree. I understand. Trust me. I watch more podcasts than I listen to. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. BetMGM tonight, even when I'm not hosting, you know how I ingest that? I watch it on Twitch. All right, I watch it because to me, I can get more out of the host when I can see them. Just like this is why me being in studio with you is better than me being at the house on the stream. Because even if you can see me on the stream, it's a hell of a lot different when you and I are looking across the board, making eye contact and reading body language and all that, right?
We don't do that usually because you're just always angry at me, but every once in a while.
You know me, I'm like the Hulk. So
not anymore. You've lost too much weight to be a Hulk.
I'm like She-Hulk.
Whatever you identify as.
So, here's the thought. Even if all that's correct, let's say theoretically it 100% is because of the Brad Brownell show and they want to go more modern and they want to go with the stream because I agree, watching a stream is better than just listening to audio. I agree with everything you said in that aspect of it. I agree with all of that. What I am going to say is we all know you can still take calls. McAfee's stream of his pod is the biggest streamed podcast in the world in sports. He takes calls all the time. We stream on this show. When we get calls, those calls go on the air, right? That's a washout excuse, all right? And again, BetMGM tonight, when we have a host, have a call that is a guest, you know what they do? They build up a little graphic. She's got a little box in the middle, and all you got to do is type the name and the location into that box, and then you bang, pop it up on the screen, and now you don't even have to worry about anything. So that doesn't really sell me on it. And number two, I will say a big chunk of this is the Tyler from Spartanburg call last year, where whether you think it was a work or not is irrelevant. The public perception is Dabo lost his cool. Dabo lost his cool after the Tyler from Spartanburg call. And what did it do? It's not that Dabo lost his cool. Because let's be real, we love coaches who lose their cool. Don't we, Mike Gundy, who is a man and is 40? We love that guy. That guy's still at Oklahoma State 17 years later. We love that guy. We love the old ball coach throwing the visor into the ground,
by the way,
losing his cool.
Dabo has a bunch of audio that's been used over and over again where he's lost his cool.
Sure.
Even people telling him things that weren't true and he just went nuts on it.
But
so,
there is a difference. There is a difference between losing your cool and being a passionate, heated coach and losing control. There's a difference. You can be angry, but controlled. You can be full of rage, but still have it under control. Or you can Hulk out. You can lose control. You become reckless. You lose control of the situation. I'm not saying that's what Dabo did after the Tyler from Spartanburg call. I don't believe it is. In fact, after that call last year, I'm like, yeah, I kind of get where Dabo's coming from here. Like, he's not wrong. But the public perception, and let's be real, that's the most important thing. The public perception was that Dabo lost his cool after that call last year. And if Dabo lost his cool, and then immediately the next season goes, yeah, I'm not talking to y'all anymore. I'm not talking to the fans anymore. What it says to me, right or wrong, correct or incorrect, is that he's afraid of that happening again. And instead of having the confrontation with the fans and teaching himself how to address this in a way that doesn't make him lose his cool, he's just going to avoid it altogether. Same with Deion Sanders. Can't give a bad answer if you don't allow the question to be asked in the first place. Now, the Dabo Swinney of Sports Flash is Lonzo.
Wow. I think full of rage is like a Rage Against the Machine cover band, maybe. One issue is off the table for the Dallas Cowboys as the team agreed yesterday to a four-year, $136 million deal with wide receiver CeeDee Lamb that makes him the second highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. The deal includes $38 million in signing bonus, the most ever given to a wide receiver, and $100 million in guaranteed money. After a rain-delayed Atlanta Braves rode a solid five-inning, seven-strikeout performance from Max Fried to a 10-6 win over the Twins in the first game of a seven-game road trip, Atlanta finished the night with 13 hits, including home runs from Matt Olson and Travis d'Arnaud. Hey, make sure you tune in this Saturday at 5:30 as the Furman Paladins get their college football season started as they take on the Ole Miss Rebels. It's Furman versus Ole Miss right here on your home for Paladins football, the Fan, Upstate.